Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
You know, Wendy Wilson is joining us today. There's tons of things going on. Just an incredible day. I guess the last on the shutdown is President Trump stormed out of the Dems meeting. It was a total waste of time. And so there was one question to Pelosi and Schumer, and Pelosi said nope. And here we are, another day, same thing. And so the next stop, I guess, will be the emergency declaration if they can't begin to have a discussion like adults. But anyway, let's get to the stock market and gold prices first. Gold today was up a strong $850 at $1,294. Silver was up 12 at $15.83. Platinum was up 6 at $828. Palladium was up a buck at $13.37. So a good day in the metals. That could only mean that the dollar was a little bit weaker, as it was 0.77 at 95.15. Crude oil was up big today, 2.53 at 52.31. Stock markets today, they were all kind of all over the page, but closing out, the Dow was up 91 points at 23,879. The NASDAQ was up 60, 6,957. The S&P was up 10 at 2,584. 10-year yield, 2.73%. Euro, 115. All the markets were strong. Hong Kong was up 2.25%, up 600 points. Japan, everybody's happy, happy, happy. In the paper markets anyway, but certainly we have our differences here in the United States. But the one thing that we all do agree on is Wendy Wilson. She certainly brings us a lot of great information on trying to, and she's trying to keep you healthy. And so that's one thing that I'm so pleased to have her here with us each and every Wednesday. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Hello to all the listeners. I thought we'd talk about the new acoustic medical treatments.
Acoustic.
Got any idea? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Modern medicine is moving in a direction that we're told is going to revolutionize medical treatments. Mm. Now, in the December 2018 report at the University of Bristol in the United Kingdom, they got their work published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And in there, they stated that surgical medicine is utilizing sound waves as a type of acoustic tweezers. So, recent scientific research has been using sound to manipulate objects and also even to levitate them. So now the research is using these frequencies to select and manipulate tissue. So it's a strong possibility that sound engineers are going to be as important as surgeons in the future of modern medicine. So we're going to take a look, closer look at what this is, you know, what could be levitating in an operating room near you. What do you think?
Go for it.
Well, it's the power of sound. So engineers around the world have actually been posing some important questions with regard to harnessing sound frequencies. And some have actually speculated maybe the Egyptians used sound technology, that technique to move large stones. So there's also the question of the inventor, Raymond Rieff, and his frequency machine called the Renaissance Therapy, and it was used, he said, to kill cancer cells. So according to Professor Bruce Drinkwater at the Department of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Bristol, they've been experimenting with acoustic levitation and manipulating objects at the same time. So the engineers are working on this system that can be used to stitch up internal injuries or even deliver medicine to specific organs without using traditional surgery. Kind of sounds really out there, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Ah, well,
what's the catch?
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Well, the acoustic pitch that the scientists are using are beyond the ability for the human ear to hear. So they're using ultrasonic wave. in order to move objects. And according to Professor Drinkwater, they've been successful in trapping multiple objects in target locations, as with any application today, a computer is controlling these frequencies. So he says this, we've applied a novel algorithm that controls an array of 256 loudspeakers that allows us to create this intricate tweezer-like acoustic field. Interesting stuff, I'll say that. But you know what this got me thinking and reminded me of, and Dave, you may know about this, the military's machine that uses microwave, it's a microwave heat weapon, they use it to disperse protesters. It's called the microwave cannon, or the official name is active denial system. And they use it a super high frequency at 95 gigahertz, and it sends out this spread blast that could be several football fields away. And what it does is it heats up the surface molecules of your skin, like a microwave oven moves molecules, and it gives you this electric heat sensation of pain. Kind of stimulates the sensation as if you opened a oven door too quickly and you felt the heat. Makes people run away, so it's very effective.
Talk you about know. Fight or flight.
Well, it has the potential, really, to cause secondary degree burns if they wanted to, and this device does fit on a Hummer vehicle. So it's interesting. Now, if you have aluminum in your skin, what does aluminum do in a microwave?
Probably melts or explodes.
No, it sparks and explodes. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you don't have any aluminum on your skin if you come in contact with the microwave cannon. But I do have some questions about this acoustic frequency thing. Operating within human tissue, for instance, with these frequencies, kind of a new frontier in surgery, and we're told it's going to be as safe as an ultrasound. But, you know, an ultrasound is a diagnostic tool. It's not surgery. So I have questions with regard to this frequency surgical technique. And since computers obviously are involved, we're going to call this troubleshooting. Okay? What risk do you suppose could be involved should the frequencies get blocked in the middle of surgery? So unexpected halt to the surgery, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. And like robot operations, if there's a program malfunction or an electrical malfunction, I'm asking what safety measures are in place, because at least with a surgeon at the helm, if the lights go out, you can continue the procedure under emergency lighting.
Mm-hmm.
See? So now we're being told, though, that the acoustic surgery techniques will be 100,000 times more efficient and more flexible.
Okay. And less expensive?
Well, they haven't really put a price tag on it, but we're going to kind of speculate a little bit here. According to Dr. Drinkwater, he says the flexibility of the ultrasonic sound waves will allow us to operate at micrometer scales to position even 3D printed assemblies into living tissue.
Sounds so expensive to me, Wendy.
Well, and hey, I haven't even gotten to the supersonic algorithms yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. According to Professor Drinkwater, all these frequencies they're using is allowing them, on a larger scale, he says, to levitate tangible pixels. Wow. That form a physical hologram in midair. So all those sci-fi movies where you saw, you know, Star Trek Federation doctors touch a hologram for the patient to perform surgery, as simple as they mark a chalkboard. Well, now it's upon us. There you are. So we got lightning speed treatments. The traditional Genomics Research Institute stated in March of 2018, they reported that a Norwegian biotech company called Phoenix Solutions is testing a device with pulsating sound waves for cancer treatments. So the device can deliver drugs for cancer involving the liver, the prostate, and the breast area. They're expanding the treatment field, they say, to include other diseases that involve anything from inflammation to the nervous system. So, and you know, what made this acoustic stuff do to the optic studies, right? Like your x-rays, MRIs, CT scans? Well, the advancement in your sound wave area is going to be fast replacing optic imaging diagnostic tools with acoustic imaging. The sound waves can pass through biological tissue and without the risk of radiation. So according to the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, the acoustic imaging is going to offer 1,000 times higher resolution. Wow.
That's amazing.
It is. So we're going to ride this wave. In September 2015, the Salk Institute did experiment on sound waves. They wanted to accurately select cells and activate them. The method showed that they could target heart, brain, or really any cell in the body and manipulate it. So the research was published in the Journal of Nature Communications. So manipulating brain neurons with frequencies, very powerful stuff. Apparently, science is learning how to use sound waves as if it were a laser. And so medical science seems to promise they're going to use this technique for surgery deep in the brain that is impossible to do before.
Jeez.
So, yeah. Yeah. How are you going to let somebody use sound waves on your brain, Dave?
Hey, you know, if I have a day or two to live, you know, go for it.
Well, you may
otherwise,
have
to... I'm going to wait for
somebody else to test
other
it,
results.
Yeah. Okay, now I want you, possibly, we may be saying goodbye to the knife. Duke University reported in July 2018, they have been testing acoustic microfluidic platforms. What the heck's that? Well, apparently, surgeons may not need scalpels in the near future. According to their report, sound waves can do biopsies. So the acoustic device can harvest cells, blood tissue, tumors, etc., quickly and efficiently. And in such a fluid process, it is also referred to as a liquid biopsy. And since it has less invasiveness than traditional treatments, it's also being promoted as a contact-free method. So the device is also said to detect small cancer cells, which the human eye can't see, and they hope to enable the device to separate those cancer cells from the bloodstream. And they claim the device can do a biopsy 7 times faster than traditional methods.
Wow. I wonder if they'll try it. I wonder if we'll soon see liquid liposuction.
I don't know. Can we biopsy Schumer's brain or Pelosi's brain? Let's test. What do you think?
Man.
Yeah?
What's going on in there?
I know. Well, Tony Hong, he's a professor of mechanical engineering and materials at Duke University Center. He says, quote, biopsy is the gold standard technique for cancer diagnosis, but it's painful and it's invasive and is often not administered until late in the cancer's development. But with our technology, he says, we could potentially help find cancer in a non-invasive manner, identify that type of cancer and its location early on. So here's some changes down the pike we might want to mull over and consider. If sound wave or acoustic therapy takes off in medical science, it could produce this ripple effect of changes. For instance, if they can control the frequency to such an extent to influence the brain's pain center, they could do away with pharmaceutical pain drugs and anesthesia. And we may think that's a good thing, you know, good idea, but only if they can prove there's no risks involved to the acoustic treatment. So I would also think that there might be a financial loss on the drug end, and the anesthesia gases would need to be probably reflected in the use of the acoustic machine. Again, we don't have dollar signs specifically for you there, Dave. But anesthesiologists, think of this, they could be out of a job, which means they would have to become acoustic engineers. You know? And don't forget, scientists are levitating objects with sound frequencies. So transportation in the future could be changed. And we may be transported by light and sound, putting an end to your auto and your airplane industry, your car loans, your insurance, your gas stations, and mechanics. Think about it.
Jetsons, here we come.
Yep. Well, it's the futuristic medicine. The scientific reports on the new medical technology that's developing so quickly in new ways, kind of beyond the imagination, really. One is, you know, maybe wondering how beneficial it will eventually become. Well, innovation in the halls of medicine, you know, research can produce some questions as to, you know, the big picture. We want to know how safe everything is. But, you know, science does have a track record of breaching those ethical boundaries from time to time, and knowledge in the wrong hands is a dangerous thing. So personally, I'm going to stick with what works.
And let me guess, Wendy.
One thing I know is medicinal plants have health benefits with little to no risk. And if herbs have the healing power, didn't have any healing power, medicine wouldn't have used them to make drugs before they learned to make synthetic drugs. So I want you to keep in mind that, you know, also bestseller books become bestsellers because of marketing. So I want you to apply that concept to the thousands of doctors reading journal articles written by drug companies. So that's how that works. And herbs are very complex in chemistry, and God designed them. And if he says they're safe and here for the healing of the nations and for the service of man, and God can't lie, I'm going to, you know, take that to the bank. I really am. The problem medicine has with plant nutrition is they can't patent it, so that's why they don't promote it. So I go with what I know, and I'm on God's side with the medicinal plants. I mean, I know medicine has its place for trauma care, but for everything else, you know, boost the immune system, cleanse toxins, strengthen your metabolism, get off those prescription medicines. You know, I have to retrain people I talk to because, you know, they think, well, I'm just going to replace this drug with herbs for life. And I go, no, herbs aren't supposed to be used like that. They're to strengthen you. And then you're strong enough, you don't need anything. See, they got to change your mindset here.
Ah. So what's the one thing that listeners should have every day? Is there any one thing that is...
Yes. We're so depleted in minerals. Our soil is so lacking because the way we're agriculturally harvesting things, we're really low in minerals. And minerals is one of those elements. If you take all the water away, we're a pile of minerals. And if we don't have them, we don't have electrolytes. We don't have a nervous system that's working. We don't have a cardio system that's working. So make sure you're getting your minerals. Your thyroid doesn't work without minerals. And that can give you a whole slew of problems. So make sure you're getting some organic whole food minerals in the diet, and one way to do that is use some Celtic sun-dried salt. Yeah. Wow. And there's so much thyroid disease because there's not enough natural iodine in anything, so then I like to use black walnut for that. So there's ways around the problem, and they're organic and they're safe.
All right, give us some contact information, Wendy.
Sure, they can give us a call at Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit us on the web at thepowerherbs.com.
You know what, Wendy, I need some salt.
I know. It's amazing when you get the right salt that has all the nutrition in it. It's like, you know, a game changer for you.
Yeah, so you know what to do. You have my address.
I'll send you some.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
I appreciate it, Wendy. Give her a call, ladies and gentlemen. She's so full of great information to keep you healthy so you don't need to go to the doctor to begin with. We'll be right back. You're listening to Finance Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
The heart is what I meant to say.
Talking away, I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway.
If I can't survive, silver trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And we got 90% half dollars, 90% silver half dollars. And they are had a bag delivered, a couple bags delivered, and actually they're really nice coins for circulated condition. They're a little bit better than I'd say the normal circulated condition coins, and there's some in there that actually look uncirculated. So a nice range of Kennedys, Franklins, and walking limbs. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Just another reminder on the $20 gold pieces. I mean, if you're buying gold, you should be backing up the truck and buying $20 gold pieces when you have premiums that are 20-year lows. And I gave the example of going back to December 7th, 2009. Spot gold was $1,142, and 63 $20 Liberties wholesale were selling at $2,600. So an incredible spread between $20 gold pieces and spot. So again, a lot of these guys tell you, oh, you don't want to buy $20 gold pieces. They don't do anything. Well, yes, they do. And then they'll try to flip you into some, you know, paper stock or some penny stock, some, you know, mining stock, and they promise you all sorts of gains and everything else. What's the difference? $20 gold pieces, I know the market they perform the best in, and that's a panic-driven market. We haven't had a panic since 2008, 2009, 2010. So premiums came out. We had a lot of pressure on gold after it hit its high. And so the $20 gold pieces are also a good leading indicator as far as what the industry is doing across this nation, because as premiums rise on those $20 gold pieces, it tells me that people are out there buying across this nation. That's what moves the price higher. And so you can kind of predict the future, you know, also with these $20 gold pieces. So again, if you don't have any in your portfolio, now's the greatest time to be adding them. So again, give us a call at 800-375-4188. And I just wanted to just see if there was any additional information, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, on that meeting. I guess it's still pretty President Trump just stormed out of the meeting with Schumer and Pelosi. Total waste of time with that meeting after last night's comments on TV. And so it's still at a standstill there, so nothing to add. There's been some positive on these trade talks coming out of China and the U.S. We saw Caterpillar rose more than 1% today. You know, people kind of look to that as a bellwether for trade, just because of the company's exposure to overseas markets. But Reuters reported the two sides showed signs of progress on issues like U.S. farm and commodity purchases, as well as greater access to Chinese market. And Dave, I don't know if you have this here, but I do believe that both China and the U.S. is supposed to make some sort of I guess this is part of something that's came about after the G20 meeting, when our government released a statement, and then China came out afterwards and released a statement, and they were two totally different statements. Now I guess they're coordinating the release of the two country statements as far as the trade agreements, so the discussions that they've had for the past 2 days. And I believe, I don't think I have the exact time, I had it earlier as far as the timing of everything, but I'm sure it'll be in time for tomorrow's stock market open.
Well, we will see, won't we? You know, people who are familiar with the negotiations did say that the two sides were still far apart on structural reforms in China, the ones the administration's demanding in order to, you know, stop what it says is, you know, theft and the forced transfer of U.S. technology. Now, on the other hand, you know, if they're talking about increased U.S. access to some Chinese goods, you know, in my mind, anything that's going to ward off another round of I think fruitless tariffs. We will see. You know, they've apparently become optimistic enough that they're sticking around for an extra day. So I don't know if that's to craft this joint communique or whatever they're going to call it, the joint statement, or if they're actually going to try and make additional progress. It could be just to schedule follow-up meetings.
And so what was the, did you remember what the deadline was, the date?
March 1st.
Is it March 1st?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Okay. So
March 29th for breakfast for Brexit, March 1st for tariffs.
All right. Yes, because that's when that 90-day truce would expire, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, fingers crossed. And but I don't even think that I wonder how long it takes after they come to an agreement. Like, I know that the reformed, I guess the new NAFTA, the USMC, whatever.
A.
That has yet to be ratified, right?
Oh, correct.
So that was supposed to be all into effect come January of this year. I've read reports that it really won't even be effective until 2020. And with the new Congress, I'm not sure.
Yeah, new Congress, new Mexican president. I'm sure it's going to take some time now, an additional doodling of, you know, draft language to get to the point where it's going to be able to be presented for whomever is going to vote on ratification.
Do you think China domestically has gotten so bad that they have to make a deal with the U.S.?
I don't know the answer to that. Some people believe it's certainly gotten tighter there. You know, and certainly growth, you know, is slowing from 6.6%, I believe, to 6.2% projected this year and 6.0% next year. That's still pretty healthy growth. Although, you know, coming down from the double-digit figures of a decade ago, you know, I guess, you know, everything's relative. But, you know, I think one of the misnomers, I think, of, you know, GDP is that, and I do think that percentage increases or decreases are usually more important. But, you know, the fact that our economy is, you know, roughly $20 trillion, it's harder for a much larger economy like ours to produce the kinds of growth that, you know, a smaller country or certainly lesser developed country, even a smaller developed country like Brazil is producing. So I think we do our best here to present numbers to listeners in a way that, you know, we think are going to make it easier to understand and process and see how, you know, it all relates.
Well, you know, with the government shutdown, as we're entering the 19th day, Fitch, credit rating agency said that the U.S. is in danger of losing its AAA sovereign credit rating later this year. It warned that an ongoing government shutdown could soon start to impact its ability to pass a budget. The stalemate between the president and the Democrats, you know, we're approaching the end of the third week. So if I remember correctly, of course, we're not seeing it today. The last time gold went from 1600 to 1900 was when the government had actually had its credit rating lowered, but then the government sued and the rating agency, and
first time in history,
yeah,
modern history,
yeah.
You know, Fitch said its view of you know, of the world's largest economy, the U.S., hinged on whether the ongoing shutdown was likely to morph into a more pronounced destabilization of fiscal policy making. Those are its words. You know, that includes brinkmanships over the country's debt, referring to the current political impasse in Washington. I mean, if you think this is bad, well, the debt limit, the debt ceiling, is due to come back into play in March. I'm not exactly sure what date. But there will be, you know, another vote, congressional vote, with presidential approval required to increase the debt ceiling. You know, in June of last year, S&P Global reaffirmed their AAA credit rating for the U.S., saying the country's outlook was stable. Moody's said in late December that a partial government shutdown would not have a material impact on its credit profile of U.S.
Which one lowered the government's ratings the last time? Was it Moody's?
I believe, I'm pretty sure it was Moody's. It could have been S&P, but I'm pretty sure it was Moody's.
I thought Moody's. It was Moody's, and they're the ones that got sued by the government, so naturally they're not going to take a stand this time. Oh, we're going to let Fitch do it, or we're going to let the S&P. We're not going to do it. We got sued.
So, yeah, right. Anyway, I know. A little gun-shy, are we?
A little gun-shy are you there, Moody's. That's the way it works, you know, with these credit rating agencies, and that's why we always have, you know, so much problem. You know, they did it with the
The collateralized mortgage obligations.
Yep. Absolutely.
AAA and whoops.
Oops. Oopsie doops.
That was you know, that was shameful.
And you know, I think this is interesting because since the government shut down, is all we hear is about the approximately 800 federal workers that are in financial limbo. And you know, not to take it's sad for those who live on paycheck to paycheck, but on the other hand, there's a lot of other people, Dave, that are also living paycheck to paycheck, and it just goes to show it doesn't take much to, you know, go from, you know, living comfortably to where you can lose a lot. Of course, you know, the government workers will get paid. But the other Americans that are living paycheck to paycheck, if something happens, they lose their jobs, they're not going to get paid. So, and it's shocking when you see these salaries of some of these Americans that are still living paycheck to paycheck. Can you tell us something?
Well, you know, 78% of American workers in general say they're living paycheck to paycheck. Women are particularly vulnerable. 81% of them report living week to week, bi-weekly to bi-week, compared with 75% of men. Now, you know, it's not merely those earning low wages, as Melody indicated. A Career Builder reports that 10% of Americans with salaries of 100% or more live paycheck to paycheck as well. I mean, that means many workers aren't able to put anything significant into savings. More than 50% of survey respondents say they have less than $100, that they save less than $100 a month. And that comparable 2017 survey from Go Banking Rates, which we talked about last year, found that 61% of Americans don't have enough money in an emergency fund to cover 6 months' worth of expenses. I think the average was less than 1 month, in fact. Debt, also a growing issue for workers, as much as we talk about it, we can't let it go because it's just flashing in 72-point font right in front of us. More than 70% of all respondents say they're in debt, and a quarter of workers say they weren't able to make ends meet at the end of every month of the past year. You know, it's a struggle, indeed, Melody. Go ahead.
So then it's just like all we hear is, you know, we see the numbers, wages are rising. We see, you know, there's, you know, millions of jobs being created and, you know, how many jobs created in December and so forth. But then when you see that 70% of these respondents aren't, they say they're in debt and a quarter of them say they aren't able to make ends meet. I mean, that's, you know, someone is being left out for sure.
Yeah, I guess that's why we see credit card debt going up and up. You know, consumer loans going up and up. Take care of yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Take care of yourselves first. If you can't take care of yourselves, gosh, it's impossible to take care of, you know, other members of your family or whomever.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about seniors and, you know, how they're dealing with their debt. And then I also saw a report how millennials, we're going to talk about this when we come back from the next break, how millennials, I don't know, it was kind of a shocking number who believe they're just going to, you know, go through life in debt, not pay it off, die, and leave debt to whoever. And it doesn't really seem to be a concern. And yet, Dave, I can remember my grandparents and my parents. I mean, it was, oh my gosh, it was awful to have debt. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, it was terrible. And now we live in a world where it's, we're just going to get as much debt as we can and forget about it. But
life is short, live it up.
Yeah, that's what they're being conditioned to believe, only to know what they don't understand what they're losing. The St. Louis Fed Press says that more rates could lead rate hikes could lead to a recession. James Bullard, he's the St. Louis Fed president, said he's kind of upbeat about the U.S. economy, but he says that we might be pushed into a recession if we keep pressing forward with more rate increases. He says we got a good level of the policy rate today and there isn't any pressing need to go higher. He holds a voting role on the interest rate setting FOMC, and he has long opposed much of these rate increases that the Federal Reserve's started.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. He warned that financial markets continue to take a dim view of the implication of rate rises and that the Fed should heed this message. He thinks there's some recession risk ahead if rates go higher, as I predict they will.
Yes, they are. And I predict we're heading into a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Elodie Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Give us a call, 800-375-4188. I just want to go over the metal markets again. See, I'm getting better at this, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go. We have gold today in the New York spot price, still trading in the electronic trading, up 840 at 1294.10. Silver's up 12 cents at 1583. Platinum was up 6 at 828. Palladium's $1,335. Palladium had a big day earlier. It was 1350. So, but it broke back down. It had a huge swing. So what that's telling me is that it's palladium has peaked out. That's what it's. I mean, a big swing from 1282 to 1350. So it's telling me which direction I want to go into. So it's telling me that it's losing steam. So if any of you are out there holding palladium, again, it's a great time to be trading it for maybe the sister metal platinum, considering it's way underpriced. With its relationship with gold, silver is a great buy, and so is gold. So at these levels, the $20 gold pieces, currently we have a little package going on, $25 face value of 90% silver, half dollars. A great buy for a mixture of Ben's, of Franklin's, of Kennedy half dollars, and also the walking libs. And they're very nice condition. 800-375-4188. Oh, today is Wednesday. We're going to talk about your gold brevity is golden. Is this correct?
It is Wednesday.
So take it away.
That means brevity is golden. You know, Melody, deaths from cancer dropped 27% over a quarter century. That means an estimated 2.6 million fewer people died of the disease during that period. That's according to a new report from the American Cancer Society. For most of the 20th century, overall cancer deaths rose, driven mainly by men dying from lung cancer. But since the peak in 1991, the death rate has steadily dropped 1.5% a year. That's through 2016, which is the end of the study period, I believe. Now, that drop is primarily because of long-running efforts to reduce smoking, as well as advances in detection and treatment of various cancers at earlier stages, you know, when prognosis for recovery is generally better. Noah Weiss, who's a professor of epidemiology at the University of Washington, who wasn't involved with the study, says cancer is still one of the leading causes of death among Americans. Now, amid the good news about the decline in the overall death rate, there are also some troubling signs that researchers said need to be addressed. Endometrial cancer, for example, has increased in women, and about 60% of those cases are attributed to obesity. Rebecca Siegel, who's with the American Cancer Society and who's the lead author of this new report, says we're probably only seeing the tip of the iceberg regarding the influence of the obesity epidemic on cancer rates. You know, she said just as tobacco use drove cancer death rates earlier, obesity could influence future projections. Now, despite the steady decline in overall death rates, the study's authors also projected that there would be roughly 1.76 million new cancer cases this year, with 607,000 cancer deaths. That's in the U.S. alone. Men had a 34% total decline in cancer mortality over the 25 years. 24% for women, largely due to trends in smoking rates. Presumably, more men smoked than women did. Now, the gap in cancer mortality between blacks and whites is also narrowed, again, mainly due to a drop in smoking among black teenagers from the late 70s to the early 90s. New drugs such as costly immunotherapies are beginning to transform the treatment of many cancers, as Wendy Wilson told us several weeks ago. That includes lung cancer, and not surprisingly, they're fueling deals among the big farms looking to shore up their strength in that space. Now, Dr. Weiss, who's the cancer epidemiologist, said that the trends in colorectal cancer are worrisome, especially if they continue as people get older. The big concern going forward is obesity, which can cause structural changes in the liver and other organs and predispose individuals to those types of cancer. Let's see. According to the researchers, 71% of liver cancer cases can potentially be prevented through lifestyle changes, such as not smoking, increasing physical activity, losing weight, and preventing hepatitis B and C. So, bottom line, we can make a big dent in our disposition to cancer of all kinds based on our own lifestyle activities. And that melody is this week's Brevity is Golden, not as fun and laid back as usual, but still I think an important topic, especially coming on the heels of Wendy Wilson's comments earlier today.
Absolutely, and it is always surprising that all we need to do is change our lifestyle. And they don't have to be big, just little. And yet it's so difficult for so many people to do so.
Yeah. Throw out the table salt.
Get Wendy's salt.
Walk around the block.
Yes. So very simple little things that we can do, and every little thing that we do makes a big difference. And it's the same thing with your finances, too. You know, it's a lifestyle change to your finances. Getting out of debt, putting money in savings. You can speculate on various investments and so forth, but protect it with gold and silver. You know, be smart about it when you're doing and you're playing in the markets and so forth. And if you're making a profit, don't just let it ride. When you're in Vegas, you don't let your winnings ride. You pull your gains, you pull your profits, and then you put it someplace where you can keep it. So again, the stock market's no different than being in Las Vegas. And yet people's retirement lives are all bundled up into the stock market without a second thought, thinking that it's protected by the government. And it's just my thinking, how can you depend on the government to protect your retirement accounts? Hell, everybody is underfunded when it comes to pensions and retirement accounts. Look at all these states that are underfunded, Dave. I mean, they're just, and yet, you know, we've been fortunate. They've been able to ride it along. They've been able to keep it flowing. They get to raise those taxes a little bit more, and a little bit more. And you just sit there and you just dish it out. And one day there isn't anything else to dish out. The pot's empty. And, we'll see something that people will be they will be forced to make that lifestyle change.
Yeah.
They'll be forced to make that lifestyle change. So make the change now.
State government debt, $1.2 trillion. Local government debt, $1.9 trillion. Unfunded state and local pension liabilities, $6.5 trillion. We'll stop there.
Well, I had something. I want to finish what, you know, we have a lot to talk about today. But we're talking about debt, and this, I believe, is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. The Republican House has increased the debt almost $8 trillion in 8 years. This is the Republican House. At the close of business, January 4th, 2011, the day before the Republicans took control of the House, the debt was $14 trillion. This is according to the Treasury. And I know everybody's going to say, well, that was Obama's fault. No, it was the Republican House of Representatives. They approved it. So under the Republican House majorities and four Congresses, the debt climbed $7.9 trillion. And there's no stopping this. We all know the Democrats aren't going to stop it. We've all seen the Republicans don't stop it. The Republicans are supposed to be the ones that are fiscally responsible. So if that's what you call fiscally responsible, boy, are we in trouble. And everybody will say, well, you know, that's because there was less taxes. That was less, you know, perhaps you could argue that the reason the debt increased so rapidly when the Republicans controlled the House is not because they spent too much, because it taxed too little. And they would be wrong. So again, ladies and gentlemen, where is this all going to end? Where is it going to go? This person who wrote this article, his name is Terrence Jeffrey. And he said he interviewed Paul Ryan in 2008, 2 years before the Republicans had won back the majority in the House. And Paul Ryan was the ranking Republican on the House Budget Committee. And he asked him, if the federal government of the United States stays on this fiscal path it is currently following, is the government going to go bankrupt down the road? Paul Ryan, at that time, said yes. We know that for a fact. So all these politicians know this. They're not going to share it with you. All the objective scorekeepers of the federal government, Paul Ryan said, are predicting this. All the actuaries, all the objective scorekeepers of the federal government are predicting this. This much we know. What we know is our government is growing at an unsustainable pace, and it will overwhelm our economy's ability to pay the bills, quote unquote. And they're going to attack the Medicare, the Medicaid, and the Social Security. It's that simple. If they don't get the retirement accounts first. So that's where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. And we have so many distractions going on. As you said, Dave, here comes March. I mean, there's so many things that's going to have to be addressed. And it doesn't really seem to matter to anybody because everyone is focused on one or two things. And that's what it's all about. There's no difference between the two. And, you know, it's we can pretend there is. If you want to pretend, pretend. But there's no difference. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he went made an unannounced visit to Iraq. He met with top leadership. He wants to reassure the U.S. allies that over concerns that Washington is withdrawing from the region. The Iraq stop adds a ninth country to Mr. Pompeo's eight-day tour, his first to the Middle East, after President Trump announced pulling troops from Syria. Pompeo met with Jordan's King Abdullah and Foreign Minister Safadi yesterday. He's scheduled to visit Egypt. And it comes as Iraq is trying to emerge from a conflict with the Islamic State.
Let's we'll jump back to what Melody said in the first segment. She wanted to mention before the end of the show, and it's about how you manage debt could impact your retirement. Melody, you want me to start?
Well, you can. We only have about 2 minutes, so I'm not sure we'll get to.
It's a short thing. Go ahead. Well, It starts with 4 in 10 retirees cite paying off debt as a current financial priority. That puts it on equal footing with just getting by to cover basic living expenses as a top concern. That's according to a new report for Trans America Center for Retirement Studies. Almost 3 in 10 cite paying down credit card debt as a priority, 17% focusing on mortgage debt, 11% on some other consumer debt, such as medical bills or student loans, as they approach as they're in retirement. Many younger Americans, as Melody mentioned, aren't optimistic about their chances of knocking out debt before they retire either, or ever, for that matter. 25% of adults expect to die with debt. 41% of adults say they don't know when or if they'll pay it off. Amazing. You know, among the retirees in the red, median owned is $52,000 in mortgage debt, $4,000 in non-mortgage debt. Recent survey found that 56% of retirees left the workforce sooner than expected for reasons like a job loss or poor health, or, you know, become a caregiver for a loved one. You know, the author of this study recommended 4 ways to manage your debt. Basic stuff, common sense stuff, prioritize debt repayment, work debt payments into your retirement plan, limit new late career debt, make debts more manageable, and we would add, better yet, stay out of debt altogether, at least as best you can, Melody.
Yeah, and with some of these numbers of the millennials, I mean, this really is incredible. A new report from creditcards.com find that 1 in 5 millennials expect they'll die in debt. Another 60% defined in the studies, people ages the 18 and 37, they're unsure whether they'll pay it off or not.
Hmm. Sad.
This is truly sad. What kind of life are they going to have within debt? Not a free one, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Green Up. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. If I got me a wealthy man.